because we are at the end of the first shar. So, I don't know what that means, but we did it. The most important thing is the journey, but here we have a little bit of a tachana. This is Perek Shloshasar, the 13th Perek, at the end of the first section, Shar Aleph here. And it's a two-page, for those who have on the WhatsApp group, if you have the PDF, it's a two-page chapter. We can finish the whole thing today. And the truth of the matter is, the second page, like almost every word is gold. So we'll do the first half a little bit more outside, a little bit more quickly, so that we can quickly, and with enough time, get to the second page. As you see, the title of the chapter is a very important, sensitive, you could even say mature topic, Hargasha Baguf. This is a chapter all about our relationship with our body, physical stimulation, physical pleasure, and obviously that is always a complex issue for any religion. But I think that the Yiddishkeit has always had a very beautiful and balanced and sophisticated approach, and this chapter is a perfect example of that. He begins with an incredible Gemara in Masechta Nedarim. Many of you probably are familiar with this Gemara, but it's a Gemara about Shimon HaTzadik, who tells about himself in the opening lines of the Gemara that he generally had a negative attitude towards Nazir. Doesn't exactly say why, but as Ravolbi himself surmises, probably because the Pasuk itself refers to him as a Chote, and we know that there was a famous machlokis: is a Nazir a good thing, or is it a bad thing? Is it ideal to be ascetic, or is that something nebuch that only people who can't control themselves run away from Olam Hazeh? So Shimon HaTzadik says, Miyamai lo achalti asham nazir tami. I used to never join from the carbon of a nazir, and presumably that is a judgment and a value statement as well. However, the Gemara says, there was one example, one exception. Pamachas, there was a certain nazir who came from the south, and I joined his carbon. Why? So what got his attention? So he describes how he saw this person coming. He was so handsome. His physical appearance was so striking. He had movie star, leading man, good looks, that it even caught the attention of Shimon HaTzadik. And he said, beautiful hair. And you know what part of the Nazir ceremony, when you bring the carbon, is you have to shave off all your hair. So he was so taken, he said to him, why would you do this? Why are you cutting off your hair? He was just curious. And he explains, this young boy or young person, I don't know exactly how old he was, he said that once my father sent me to fill up the water from the well, from the Mayan, and in the reflection in the water, when I leaned over to get the water to lower the bucket, I saw myself in the reflection. You know, they didn't have mirrors; they didn't spend 20 minutes in front of the mirror before chakras every day. Right? So he said, I saw my reflection. I saw how good looking I was. It hit me, says the Gemara, and at that moment, pachaz ala yitzri. I realized, you know, with these good looks, I can really fuel my Yetzirah. I'll be able to have a lot of Tanuk Olam Hazeh. So if you take a look in the parentheses there, he says, Mitoch shereiti b'mayim tzurasi kol kach na'eh, nitgaber alai yitzri ubikesh lahavyeni lidei ma'asim rayim. I knew right away this is going to get myself in trouble, as the Gemara itself says, ubikesh l'tardani min olam. If I let this grab hold of me, it's going nowhere good. And therefore, amarti lo, I said to the Yetzirah, right? Russia! What, you're taking pride? What'd you do? This is not a good thing for you. What'd you accomplish? Mishu ati lios rima v'toleya. And all of a sudden you think you're going to take so much pride and pleasure in this body? One day after 120, it's going to be worm food. You know, I had to talk him off the ledge. I had to get him down. And that moment I decided, I'm shaving it all off. I'm taking away the good looks. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Shimon HaTzadik says, wow. At that moment, I jumped up, I gave him a hug, I gave him a kiss, and Amartu, I said to him, Bini, Kamocha, you're a Nozrai, and Naziros be Israel. Wow. Halavai, halavai, all the Naziros and Nazir should be like you. Okay? That's the incredible Gemara. Says Ravolbi, second paragraph. Dover Godel Hayab Nazir Zev, Dover Godel Gilash Manatzarek Zev. Hit Orus Harishonash Shal Tuma Ba'adam, he Hargasha Baguf. Says the first, if a person is super duper sensitive, so that first sense of, you know, I might be on the wrong track, is some type of physical stimulation or pleasure. Again, you're at a fork, but if you all of a sudden start feeling, and as he'll say in a few minutes, he'll be very clear about what his intention is, if you are intentionally stimulating that hana'as or hargash or guf, that physical senses and pleasure, you're very perilous and very much close to going in the wrong direction. This young person, he says, Nistakel Batzel Shlo, who looked at his own shadow, his own reflection, he saw how good looking he was, And right away he understood, uh-oh, Yetzirah is here. It's going to bring me to bad things. Tegef chipeh so matza etza negdo. He realized, you know what, I need to go to the other extreme. I am very, very vulnerable. And I need to become a nazir in a way to totally avoid this. Third paragraph. This sense, he says, this hargasha, pit'arut rishona shel tuma me'ida al kudushaso shel hatzair hazeh. After all, he says, obviously the only person who has a real innate tzidkus would be able to, at such an early first stage, sense that he's in a dangerous situation going in the wrong direction. After all, he says, Revolbi, and he's talking to all of us, mi enu mizdehe im gufo, who doesn't identify with their own body? U'mushuchan mi yofyo. And we're all bribed, if you will, by it. Right? I can't remember who it was. When I was younger, maybe it was something that we used to do at NCSY conventions. I can't remember. And it was with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, they said this the name of. I can't remember. But there was kind of this exercise sometimes you would do with kids. You know, who are you? You know, point to who you are. Is it your head? Well, that's just your head. You know, what your eye, your arm, what if you didn't have an arm? You wouldn't be you, right? But the point is, so you try to get the people to have a sense of, you know, there's something incohate, there's a neshama, right? There's an essence that's not your body, right? But the truth is, I don't know if that was successful or not, but it's really not natural. As Revolbi says, the natural thing is we identify ourselves with our body, and what's good for the body, we think is naturally going to be necessarily good for us. However, he says, given that fact, he says, to be able to see that maybe the body is not always so good, maybe that's the Yetzirah actually talking, that was an incredible, incredible thing. And he says here at the end of that paragraph, Umi margish ki hargasha zu ahavas atzmo v'ahavas gufo tumahi. Which is an incredible line, right? This wasn't just about taiva, which is what the main focus of this chapter is, but also about gaiva. That sense of, you know, taking credit, feeling an accomplishment, feeling some extra unnecessary self-worth, just because of my body. It could be because of my good looks, it could be because of my strength, my speed, my agility, the physical parts of us. Next paragraph. This young, amazing boy understood right away this is not a great thing. But if I don't take control of it, it will take control of me and bring me to the wrong place. Whether it's gaiva or taiva, he says. In other words, again, the pivot, which is why the second page is so important, we're just going to talk about something more, a very healthy, balanced relationship to physicality, let alone sexuality. We'll get to more clearly in a moment. But what he's stressing here is that a mature person, someone who has, whether it's intellectual or spiritual maturity, understands that we're dealing with an incredibly powerful force. And a force which, if we're not in control of it, will be in control of us and take us in the wrong direction. It's like the old metaphor of the guy, you know, riding on top of the elephant. Right? Who's really leading who? Right? If you're really in control, maybe you can be in control of the elephant. But if you're not careful, in 1 second, you could call yourself the rider, but you're not doing anything. You're just getting schlepped along. So that's basically what he's describing. And again, the incredible thing was, often this takes years of experience, failures and successes, one step forward, 2 steps back. As we get older, the Yetzer gets less. So to have somebody who can already get to this madriga at such a young age, so that's why Rav Shimon HaTzadik was so important. V'dai, says, end of the page. Ki hargashat haguf hi hayisod shel kol tarbut maravit. He gives you a whole little, and Revolbi, again, those who know the biography, he had some form, I'm not sure exactly how much, but he definitely had a background which was not from a very insulated world, and he had secular education and exposures before he became the Mashgiach. So he has an awareness of what he's talking about. He talks about the whole Western civilization is based on, and he traces, you know, back to, this is very famous, going back to ancient Greece, the whole Western civilization is built on the body as a temple, the body as an end in of itself, which is, of course, the key pivot. This is what, and he says, it could do a lot of good things. This focus on the body brought us Mada, right, science, the arts, pisul, sculpture, sport, b'yavan atika. Turning over the page, he describes the famous gymnasiums, which, of course, as he says, were the forerunner to our modern schools. What was that? Makom sport baguf arum. Right, they used to run around naked because they exalted the body. Right, this is a little Chanukah Torah. So now here, this is, we start, there, we have to read really everything, the rest of the second half, so, so clearly. This is so important. Derech HaTorah, Matchila Dafka, he says, Bizer, I would have might even have said it, Mizeh. This is the point of departure. They took this to an extreme. They made the body in and of itself. And exactly where they end is where Yiddishkeit, Judaism, begins. Shahadam Yitlamed Lirot Begufo, not as an end in itself, but rather Kli Liavodas Hashem, Velo Lahana'ah. The entire Torah of Judaism and all this Parsha is summed up in that one sentence. We are not denying the body. We're not Catholic. We don't run away from the body. But we also don't see it as an end in and of itself. And as he had said on the previous page, we're aware of the incredible power and the force that lies within us, which we have to be in control of, or it will be in control of us. There's no power relationship with our physical urges. Either we're in control of them, and we selectively and at the right times and in the right amounts indulge, or it is in control of us, and we are just at its mercy. Similarly, we understand, as he's now stressing, that this body is not something to be ashamed of, it's not something to run away from. This is how Hashem made us. Hashem could have made us without any sensuality. Hashem could have made us without any benefit from physical pleasure. Hashem didn't. But Hashem did so as a way that we understand it's a means to an end. It is a kli. It is not the end. Hasfarim HaKadoshim Mechinim Et HaGuf as the Nartik Shel Kedusha. What an incredible phrase. I wish he would have quoted. I'm not exactly sure who he's quoting. I'm not sure who the Sfarim HaKadoshim are. That's often a euphemism for, they say. So I just wouldn't necessarily have thought that would be in Ravolvi. But I have lots of friends who like to talk about the Sfarim HaKadoshim, which is usually because they don't know where they're quoting from. So yeah, do you know where it's from?
No, but I think that you have that terminology in the Rishonim that explain on the Kfura, that like the goof is like...
Right, that is true. So maybe that's who he's quoting. I don't know specifically. But yes, Nachon, again, I don't want to get too much digress on this, but Nathan's bring up a good point. I'm familiar with, although you're right, I'm sure it's from Rishonim, but in my mind, I'm remembering in particular, I think it was a line of the Chasam Sofer, who describes why Judaism puts such an emphasis on Kfura. Right? You might have thought, since we believe in a neshama, the Adarava, who cares about the guf? Mezalzel in it. When there's no more neshama, who cares? Right? That's a logical conclusion from the Jewish belief in the neshama. And we double down in the other direction. We lean into the body. We take such hakpados on the kvura and being shomer, the guf, and kavod hameis. So the answer, which maybe he was borrowing from Rishonim, I just don't remember, but I remember it in the Tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, and that comes up in the issue of autopsies, and it comes up with that context. The Rav Chasam Sofer says exactly this point. I don't remember if he uses the phrase, but he uses this point. No, in Echanami, of course we realize that the guf isn't the be-all and end-all. It's a certain paradox. Those who think it is don't mind cremation, don't mind who knows what, because once it's dead, it doesn't serve any purpose. But we say, no, Adarava, for 120 years, it was the kli, it housed, it was the Befoal, it was the lamaisa, the execution of the neshama, and therefore it deserves respect, even because of that. Which again, is, I think, is the very everything we're saying is exactly brought out by what Nathan's alluding to, which is this. You can call it a paradox, but I would prefer to think of it more of as a balance. On the one hand, it's not the ikker. On the other hand, we're also not completely, you know, sholel the role of the body. If we were, then all of a sudden we'd be thrilled. Oh yes, death is amazing. It's the liberation of the soul. That's not our attitude at all. Right, it's a much more balanced and nuanced approach. Kol ha'avodah b'torah b'mitzvos b'chavenet el haguf. And now he points again something that we know, but he's putting it in context to make a very powerful point and to really illustrate this. It says everything about Torah, every mitzvah, if you think about it, virtually is designed and focused on what? Our bodies. U'lechein nitna ha'torah lanu v'lo l'malachim. Right, if the only thing that mattered was the neshama, so then either we would have had a completely different type of Torah, or better yet, we wouldn't even have gotten the Torah, because the Torah would have been given just to angelic spiritual beings. And this is, now, you thought he was going to quote the famous Gemara with Moshe going up to Shamayim, and the angel saying, don't take the Torah, and Hashem saying to Moshe, you give him an answer, you give the angels. He just quotes a parallel text in the Medrash Tehillim here, which is illustrating the same point, which I must have seen it at some point. I have it underlined. But I didn't remember it. How many years ago I saw this, I don't remember. But a very beautiful Medrash about a certain person who had a son, and he wanted to apprentice him. You know, in the old days, in the ancient world, you didn't go get a liberal arts education. You didn't even get a Bagrut education. Right? You got apprenticed. You know, so if they thought you had skills to be a blacksmith, they sent you to the blacksmith and to the silversmith and to the tailor and to whatever the case may be. So they brought him to some apprentice who was supposed to teach him a certain umnus that required, you know, manual dexterity and at minimum 5 fingers. But Nebuch, this kid was missing a finger. So when the father came to check up on him and he said, you know, you taught him X and Y, but you didn't teach him Z. Well, how come you didn't teach him that thing? So the master says to him, because he doesn't have the 5 fingers, you need 5 fingers for this job. Says the Medrash, Kach Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Malachim. That's what the Hashem says to the angels. The Torah is not mitkayim. Why? Ein beinechem piri v'rivya. V'lo misa. V'lo tuma. V'lo choli. El kulcham kadoshim. There's nothing wrong with being an angel. But the Torah is not for you. The Torah is for people who have a physical body, and therefore physical challenges, struggles, and therefore the Torah hopefully helps them overcome that. HaTorah mitkayemet davka baguf. V'chov ha'raseinu b'torah l'kadsho u'l'ha'aloso. Ag kereikach shu ha'guf yizke l'netzach u'l'tchia b'tchia s'meisim. Another Pella. Right? Every religion has their, you know, ultimate, you know, dream. Right? What's our ultimate dream? What are we always davening for? Tchia s'meisim. If the guf is so bad, so why would the ultimate rapture be that the guf comes back? It's a pella. And the answer says, Ravalbi, it's all the same, ein hein advarim. It's all the same point. That enechanami, we see in the guf something amazing. Something can be secondary and not b'dieved. It's a very important balance. Right? We think, you know, we're very much all or nothing people. The answer is no, it's not the main thing. It's for sure not the main thing. But that doesn't mean it's nothing. It's a lecharchila as a secondary thing. When we lose control and it becomes the primary motivation in our life and it's controlling us, that's the problem. But that it serves an incredibly important role, ad kereikach, that we treat the body with great respect, etc., etc., and even the ultimate dream of tchias ha-meisim reunites us with our body, is a great, great, I think, evidence, great proof to this balanced approach to the body. Haguf tzarech litlabesh mitzvah. How do you do it? What is the goal? The answer is to clothe, as it were, the body with mitzvos. After all, he points out, a beautiful insight. When Adam and Chava, and Artalu, when they were stripped of the one mitzvah that they had, only then, Yedu ki arumim heim, says the Torah. That's when they realized that they were naked, all of a sudden they became ashamed. Yisrael kedoshim, v'nimnoi mikol mashem evili deit oru shagar aguf. Says the essence of a Jew, when we're doing it right, what is our aspiration? We shouldn't be trying to arouse, to increase our physical pleasures and sensualities. After all, he says, on the other hand, kichisuf haguf lolo tzorech levishas begadim tzarim meod uchedome. And that's the premise, of course, of tznius. We don't uncover parts of our body that aren't supposed to be uncovered. The parts that are covered shouldn't be so narrow, because too much of a focus on the body is also a problem. Mikan minag Yisrael shlo legadel bluris. You shouldn't have too long hair. Again, it's not too long hair is clearly not the same issue as walking around unclothed. It's an issue of degree. It's not the same thing, obviously not. But the tzad hashaveh is it's too much of a focus on the body. Me'idach, on the other hand, balance. Avodah Hashem is lishkod on the kiyos haguf ubrioso. Right? We don't just say, who cares about the body. Person should take care of themselves. Be clean, be hygienic. Harikol umanatah shal Torah. Without the body, if you don't take care of it, there's no Torah. Now, some of you may know, my kids know the story, I think, that there was a few weeks at least when I was in yeshiva, Shana Aleph, in which not only, it was many months when I only showered once a week. That was many months. Especially during the winter. Just too cold, too easy not to shower. Coast to coast, as we called it. Friday to Friday. But there were a particular 6-7 week period during that kufa, which I slept in my clothes. For those who know, I had a chavrusa with Rabbi Reich before Vatikin, an hour chavrusa. And it was my job to wake him up. So I was so exhausted going to bed at 12, 1 o'clock and waking up at 5 or something that for those 6-7 weeks, I just slept in my clothes because it was too much effort to actually have to get dressed every morning. The only reason it was 6 or 7 months is because I got myself sick. Because I couldn't take care of myself. You know, I was so not taking care of myself. So, you know, had I been a little bit more mature and sophisticated, I probably would have tried to have the chavrusa, but maybe I would have showered more or at least changed my clothes. doesn't sound like Rav Volbli would have been happy with me in that period. Let's conclude. This is so important. So in order to kind of cap this, he quotes the famous Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis about David HaMelech. Again, this idea how the body, again, it could go bad, but it could go great. The body could be, as he before referred, it could be clothed in mitzvos, or the way the Gemara terms the phrase, Chavivin Yisrael Shesivivan HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvos. We surround ourselves, we surround our body with mitzvos. Tefillin on the head, tefillin on the arm, tzitzis on our clothes, mezuzah on our doorpost, etc., etc. And then says the Gemara, David HaMelech walked into the bathhouse, he went into the shower, and all of a sudden, there's no tefillin, there's no mezuzah in the bathhouse, there's no tzitzis, obviously, and he felt terrible. I'm arum from mitzvos. And then once he noticed his bris milah, oh, then he says, no, a Jew is never completely separated from mitzvos. He always has the mitzvos, and then he sang a famous, and wrote a famous parak of Tehillim. And with this we conclude, we'll read, we cannot not read these last two quick paragraphs inside, as he sums up, Zuhi chavivus anshei Yisrael. This is what, when we're doing it right, this is the beauty of being a Jew. Gufa mesubav b'mitzvos tamid. We have mitzvos everywhere. Uma nifle, right, and how incredible, ma nifla hargashas David HaMelech, shlo rotza la'amod arum b'lo mitzvah. We don't ever want to be completely removed and naked without any mitzvos. Od zot sheniskar b'mila, right, the bris chasamta b'psareinu, as we say. Davka osa bris, v'hayedidus b'neinu levein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, that intimate connection we're good friends with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He davka al gufeinu. How do we show that we're special with Hashem? Not in something ethereal, but davka something in our body. So we should never be a mistake and think it's only our neshamas that have a relationship with Hashem. Even our bodies are supposed to have this relationship with Hashem. However, of course, the key is miyitein v'nizke l'guf kadosh. We have to be in control of our bodies to make sure it's a guf kadosh. And now he makes sure we don't miss the point and we have balance. He ends with ein kavanaseinu b'zeh lamar sheish litalein mihaguf yitro. Again, chas v'sholom, to go to the other extreme, to become an ascetic, to run away from, try to escape our bodies, that's not at all what we're saying. O sheish l'hazniach ulhachlish et haguf, to neglect or dafka weaken our body, ki zeh eino minak chachamim. Right? I often think of this, I mean, just to give a, maybe it seems like out of left field example, but just to, it's a parallel to his point. You have to see, what do the chachamim do? So I have to tell you, aside from all the other obvious instinctive reactions that person could have, every now and then when I see a burqa lady, my thought is, did you ever see, and you know, insert your favorite rebbetzin here. Did Rebbetzin Eliashiv wear a burqa? Did Rebbetzin Kanievsky wear a burqa? Did Rebbetzin, pick your favorite rebbetzin. Right? Like, who did, what, like, even if for some reason in your own mind, parentheses, twisted mind, you actually thought this was a good thing. But we're yidden. We have gedolim. Look around. Any of the big... Did anyone do such a thing? Shouldn't I tell you something? So that's what Rav Volbli is saying here. You have, perhaps, again, it may be logical. It's logical to an extreme, which is becomes illogical. You have some instinctive reason you want to run away from your body. You want to... Da, da, da. Look what the chachamim do. What is minak chachamim? Do they look like a shlump? Do they not dress nicely? Do they... You have to see what's normal. If I could quote one of Rav Shapter's favorite lines. You need to be normal. And to be normal, this I'll phrase. One of my first years in Baltimore, one of my balabatim, who was very good friends with Rabbi Friend, had his oldest daughter in Shaduchim. So he said, he went to his friend, he said, Rabbi Sacher, what should I be looking for? He said, a normal boy. So he says, that's it? You know, kule hai, that's it? He says, trust me, you'll see, it's a rare commodity. So, with this we conclude. And this is, again, this is the key point. So what is what's the balance? What's the third? What's the tzara, what's the kosav ashlishi? Kavanaseinu. What is our point? Ein ligarot hargasha b'guf. We shouldn't be looking for ways to stimulate our body. Ki hargasha atzmit b'guf yesh b'mishum. Because that's where potential problems lie. V'chagisha ha'amitit v'haritzuya elav hi lahavchin bo kli la'avodateinu. When we have physical stimulation, we appreciate it, we understand it, we know what's right, what's not right, what's not allowed, what is allowed, but we don't go looking for that. We understand that's not the goal of life. The goal of life is to serve Hashem, most of the time through our body, but it has to be done in the right and proper balanced way. A good Shabbos to everyone, and Yishkoch, and finishing Shabbos.